Welcome to our Bible study on the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. I also want to invite you to our in-person Bible study on Wednesday at the church in the Fellowship Hall from 5:15 until 6 p.m. At verse 51, Luke begins a new section, which is reflected in some translations with a break in the text between verses 50 and 51. This new section is also marked by a time reference, when the days drew near, a final departure reference, to be received up, a way Luke refers to the ascension, and a purpose reference. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. Our passage consists of two parts, verses 51 through 56, Jesus' rejection by the Samaritans, and verses 57 through 62, Jesus' terms for discipleship. At verse 51a, the expression, "he set his face," is a Jewish expression, emphasizing a deliberate resolution. Some translations add the word steadfastly to try and make this clearer, even though the word steadfastly is not in the Greek text. The idea is that Jesus is determined to carry out his mission, even though he knows it will result in his death in Jerusalem. At verses 51b through 53, Jesus sends messengers ahead. From looking at verse 54, possibly James and John. But the messengers are not received. We will see Jesus use messengers as advanced agents again in chapter 19, verse 29 through 34, to get the colt for his entry into Jerusalem, and in chapter 22, verses 7 through 13, where the agents are identified as Peter and John, to find the room for the Last Supper. At verse 52, Luke tells us it was a village of Samaritans. Now later, at chapter 10, verse 33, we will hear the parable of the Good Samaritan. And at chapter 17, verse 16, we will be told that the only leper out of 10 lepers healed to return to Jesus and give thanks was a Samaritan. But here, at chapter 9, verse 52, this is the first time Luke mentions Samaritans. The Samaritans were a people ethnically and historically related to the Jews, but they were different in their religious practices. The Jews thought of Samaritans as semi-pagans of mixed blood, who had been resettled by the Assyrians after the conquest and deportation of the northern kingdom that we read about in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 24 through 41. Remember, the promised land was split into two kingdoms after the death of Solomon, and Israel was the 10 tribes of the north. Judah was the southern tribe with two tribes. But the Samaritans thought of themselves as the true descendants of Israel, who had preserved the ancient ways and had their own temple at Mount Gerizim. In 128 BC, a Jewish Maccabean king, John Hyrcanus, conquered Samaria and destroyed the Samaritans' temple. In Jesus' day, lingering suspicions and hatreds existed on both sides, and many Jews and Samaritans would not associate with each other, not only for reasons of ritual purity, but because of racial and national prejudice, as we see in the story of Jesus and the woman at the well in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, and verses 19 through 20. At verse 54, James and John want to call down fire to punish the Samaritans, and some translations may add, as Elijah did, which is a reference to 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 9 through 16, when Elijah called down fire to destroy his enemies. At verses 55 through 56, Jesus rebukes the disciples, and again, there are some differences in translations. Some translations at the end of verse 55 add, "And he said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of, but the Son of Man came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them." Typically, these type of additions are from later manuscripts. Almost always, anytime things are added to a translation, it will be from a later version. It will be an interpretation to bring clarity or to bring out the meaning. Think about it. It is unlikely that anyone would take away words or actions of Jesus, and much more likely that they would add words and or actions to help make the point. At verses 57 through 62, we have three scenes that emphasize the radical nature of discipleship. The responses of these would-be disciples show that they do not understand the demand of discipleship and are not prepared to give it the priority that Jesus demands. The first two sayings have a parallel in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 19 through 22. The third saying is only in Luke. At verse 58, the first saying contrasts the condition of animals at the mercy of nature, who at least have homes, and Jesus, who does not. The point being that if Jesus does not, then those who follow will not. Jesus does not have an RV. At verses 59 through 60, the would-be follower asks permission to bury his father. Respect for parents and burial of the dead were extremely sacred obligation in Jewish and many other ancient traditions. Although Luke can use dead in a spiritual sense, as we see at Luke chapter 15, verse 32, when talking about the prodigal son, this saying here does not, as some have suggested, necessarily mean let the spiritually dead bury the physical dead. Also, some have suggested that it is not clear if the father has already died. They suggest that the would-be disciple is pledging to follow Jesus after he cares for his parents for the rest of their lives. Such interpretations seek to soften Jesus' harsh response, but the saying is intended to shock, to portray the radical nature of Christian discipleship in the most provocative way. At verses 61 and 62, the third example is similar to the points of the first two. The would-be disciple offers to follow Jesus, but wants to say goodbye to his family first, a milder version of the request made by the second. And again, Jesus emphasizes the unconditional demand of the call to discipleship. The expression, "fit for the kingdom of God," is not a matter of worthiness, but of being suitable, appropriate, and capable. If someone looks back while plowing, the furrow will be crooked. Following Jesus requires focus on the goal ahead. In conclusion, Jesus does not let rejection stop him from his journey or sidetrack him from his destiny and destination. Nor is Jesus interested in setting up a marketing strategy to get as many followers as possible. The call for total and primary loyalty is underscored by setting Jesus' demands not over and against lesser loyalties, but against the best and highest loyalties. This concludes our study for today. Thank you very much for listening. Take care and God bless.